Welcome to this week's edition of High School Spodcasters. I'm Scott Titrington, High School Sports Editor here at the Journal World. We welcome you to the first Spodcast, high school version-wise, of 2007. Hope everybody had a good holiday season. Unfortunately, one of the things Santa decided to bring me was a little bit of a head cold, so if I sound a little off today, I apologize, and if I break into any type of coughing fit or anything like that, I'll try to hit the mute button so it doesn't come across to all you out there. Let me welcome first Eric Sorrentino, our Free State beat writer. Eric?
Scott, thanks for having me. You know, during this break that we had that Monday that we didn't record, it just did not feel the same. My days just did not feel the same, so it's good to be back with you and Jeff.
And Jeff Fedotin, our Lawrence High beat writer. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, and you guys obviously can't see this because it's just audio, but Eric has a smile on his face, and I think it's because the Raiders no longer have Art Shell as their head coach, but I'm not sure.
I think that's true, although I'm currently interviewing for that job, too. I think anybody could get that job.
And given the people that they were hiring for offensive coordinator and other positions this year, you're probably overqualified.
That's true. Bed and breakfast, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I hope you all had a good holiday break. I know some of you got a chance to travel and go home and see family and do some different things, but I'm sure I speak for all three of us when I say we're glad to be back in the basketball and wrestling and swimming business, and here in a couple of weeks we'll get going with a little bowling as well. But we're going to focus on basketball tonight. Everybody's kind of back in the swing of things after the holidays. Everybody played over the weekend with the exception of the Veritas Christian girls. So let's just go ahead and start breaking it down. Both Free State and Lawrence High went over to Olathe and were able to pull off sweeps. The Free State teams were at Olathe North and took care of business there, and the Lawrence teams at Olathe Northwest. I want to go ahead and start with the Free State, just because record-wise our top team so far, if you want to break it down that way, is the Free State girls. And Eric, they get out to a big lead and end up winning 68-37 against what I would imagine was just a completely overmatched Olathe North squad. I know I had a chance to cover that game last year when these two teams played at Free State, and it was no contest, and Olathe North fans were getting mad and asking them to call off the press about 2 minutes into the game because it was that lopsided. Again, the same case here, 68-37 victory for the Free State girls. They improved, like I said, to 6-1. So let's start there and talk about what has to be a promising performance coming back off the break and being that dominating first time out of the chute.
Sure, it really was. And to put it into some sort of perspective, Scott, the only lead that Olathe North had was 1-0. And from then on, Free State literally scored 17 straight points and blew the game wide open, and it was over from there. So really just a lopsided affair. But the Free State girls took care of business, went in there, and Brian Duncan, Free State's head coach, admitted after the game, he said, you know, they're an 0-6 team coming in. We knew that we were probably the better team, so we just wanted to come out here, not let them get back in the game, and just kind of establish that early momentum. They didn't let it slide, and that was good. But the one thing that caught my eye, Scott, is every week we talk about Free State's big three. This week, it was a totally different big three. Not totally different, but a different big three that stepped up and scored in double figures when you look at Harrison, Allie Hoke, and also Sarah Kraft, who all scored in double figures. What a scary thought for other teams. There had, you know, this is a team that can have six or seven, you know, girls scoring double figures. So if nothing else, I mean, it was a down Olathe North team, but they really proved that they have other scores aside from the big three, and this is a very deep basketball team right now.
Yeah, that's got to be a promising sign. You mentioned the typical big three of Jenna Brantley,
sure,
Lauren Kimball, Kelsey Harrison. I know Harrison was one of the ones Harrison who did play well on Friday, but you mentioned the supporting cast. How important is that going to be for Free State to develop? Because we do spend so much time talking about those three key players and how if everything goes through them and they play well, they're going to be successful. But you got to imagine high school basketball over the course of a 20-game season. There are going to be nights when those kids are going to be – they're going to have off nights, and you have to have those other kids step up.
And absolutely, Scott. And you better believe that when you know later in the season when teams key on Free State, they're going to see that just – the great play of Jenna Brantley and Lauren Kimball at that guard spot. That's what ignites the Firebirds. But when you have girls like Sarah Kraft who can come in, and she's starting now. She was formerly a bench player, but Allie Hoke, a streaky shooter, but she was on. I mean, she had 3 3-point shots. Just she really can shoot the basketball. And when you have them hitting on all cylinders, that's a very scary side. They looked very good. And Kelsey Harrison, you know, what can you say about her? Just crucial to this team's success. 18 points, 10 rebounds, registering that double-double. And it was, Free State just did not let up in that game. Really looked good out there on Friday.
No, no, like you said, you talked to Coach Brian Duncan, and he mentioned, you know, by all rights, this is a game they knew they were going to win and probably knew they were going to win handily.
Exactly.
It was just a matter of what the final margin was going to be. Let's look ahead a little bit to what this team has coming up in the next week to 10 days. I know on Tuesday or tonight they play Olathe East at Olathe East. That's going to be a big test. That's the team that Free State beat in the Class 6A sub-state last year to punch their ticket to the state tournament. Then they get Shawnee Mission East on Friday, probably not as big a test. Then they come back and get Olathe South. So you're talking about two of the top teams, not just in the Sunflower League, but in the state here in the next 10 days or so. So is the fact that they got kind of a little bit of a breather here to open up this part of the season after the break, is that a good thing, kind of just get a little bit of confidence rolling into this what looks to be a tougher stretch?
I think it is, and when we talk about the Free State guys, I'll tell you why that I really think it is. But, you know, you look at this break, when you look at the critical players on this team, you look at the likes of Jenna Brantley. I think it was very good for this break to let that ankle kind of, you know, have a little bit more time. You know, Jenna looked really good out there. It was a little bit noticeable in terms of, you know, just getting back to full strength, but she looks about 90% now. I mean, definitely better, you know, on her feet than she did in the Lawrence High game. Didn't score as much, but, you know, she ran fine. I think that that's crucial. And I think it just, you know, the more, in terms of the break, you know, you come out and you learn the more people, just how much depth that they have right now. I mean, they really learned that. So in terms of going into a team like Olathe East, when you know that you have depth right now and you can prove it, I think that that's really good, especially playing in a tougher environment on the road tonight is going to be tough at Olathe East. It's nice to know that they have that depth.
Now, just so our Lawrence High fans don't feel left out and don't tune out the first 15 minutes or whatever, let's go ahead and shift it over to you, Jeff, and talk about what the Lawrence High girls were able to do on Friday night. They go over to Olathe Northwest. It was kind of one of those, from what we heard, kind of a pick'em ball game. You know, nobody really maybe a heavy favorite like the Free State girls were. Lawrence High girls able to pull out a 58-54 victory. I know one of the things we've talked about with the Lawrence High girls already this year, and the players themselves have talked about this, is when they get in tight games, they tend to tighten up late and make some miscues and things like that that let some games get away from them. The Shawnee Mission Northwest game comes to mind, the season opener against Washburn Rural. What were they able to do on Friday night that was able to swing it to a positive result in their favor?
And you, Scott, you're exactly right. That's what was key. But previously, it had been sort of the errors that you associate with a young team. For instance, they were supposed to foul late in the game once to stop the clock. They didn't do that. Poor shot selection, turnovers. This game, they were just really keyed up. They went on a 9-0 run to come back late in the fourth. Key shots, they hit their free throws. And that translated to the 58-54 lead and a lot of composure down the end. So Coach Kristen Mallory, the first thing she said when I talked to her after the game is, we needed this. Not only the win, but a win like this to show their composure for the rest of the season. Something that they can, when they get in a tight game now, they can look at this game and know that they know how to respond to that situation.
So getting a chance to watch them on Friday night, again, we've talked about this and hammered away at this theme repetitively over the course of the basketball season thus far, that both Free State and Lawrence High are so guard heavy. So was that the case again Friday night? Was it a matter of some inside kids stepping up? Because I know Olathe Northwest had some pretty good size, and that was a concern for Lawrence High. So what kind of was the key on Friday night?
Yeah, again, we've been looking at their lack of inside presence. But while the Bird sisters, again, were the leading scorers with 14 apiece, the inside game really started to emerge. And it's interesting that Tania Jackson missed the game with an ankle injury. She's likely going to be back for the games this week. But nonetheless, you saw that she was gone. You're like, wow, it's really going to be a hole then, that they had sort of a weak inside game before, and now they're without one of their starters. But they really stepped up. Both Abby Vestal, who had 10 points, and Sydney Tolfrey, who had 6 points. And Taylor Tolfrey didn't score, but she was the one who replaced Jackson in the starting lineup. But Vestal and Sydney Tolfrey played so well, they actually received game balls from the coach. So that was really a difference. And if they can get that kind of inside play the rest of the year, they will have a strong year.
Now, Lawrence High, they're 3-3 now with the victory. They even up at .500. And unlike Free State's schedule that we just talked about a couple of minutes ago, if you look ahead at what Lawrence High has ahead of them, now they actually you listeners out there listening to this on Tuesday morning, because that's when we upload it, but we actually do the recording on Monday night. So Lawrence High is actually playing at Shawnee Mission East tonight. They then have Olathe South on Thursday, and then they have a couple of games against some Kansas City schools before going into tournament play later this month. So you look at the schedule, and unlike Free State, where they're going to find out a lot about themselves in the next 10 days and find out whether they are legit top five in the state or maybe not quite there, Lawrence High, it looks like, has a stretch of games here, with the exception of that Olathe South game on Thursday, where they should really take care of business and get some positive momentum going. So how important is it for this team that's young, that still has some question marks on the inside and things like that, how important is it for them to take care of business and go into that Topeka Invitational at the end of this month, something like, you know, 7-4, my math might be a little off there, but something along those lines. I would think it's a big swing part of the season for them.
Very important. And backing up a little bit, Coach Mallory even said that she hoped this game, a 4-point victory where they were strong in the fourth quarter, she used that same word, momentum. So if they can build on that and, you know, against some teams that look on paper not to be as so strong, yeah, this should be a time where then they can get a confidence boost and also a record boost.
Alrighty, well, let's switch gears now and look at the boys' side of things. We started off with the Free State girls, so we'll start off with the Lawrence High boys. Only seems fair. Lawrence High bumped the record up to 5-2 with a 61-47 victory on Friday night. I don't want this to come across sounding as a sexist statement, but a lot of times in the Sunflower League, there's a disparity in talent in some of the girls' teams. But when you get to the boys' game, anytime you can go on the road and knock somebody off, that's a major accomplishment. You're not going to have very many instances like the Free State girls had this Friday night, where you know going in even to an opponent's gym that you're going to take care of business. So how important was it for Lawrence High to come back off the break, come back off that emotional victory against Free State before the break, and come right back and get a road victory in league play?
It was important, but not only the significance of getting a road victory, but how they played. Lawrence High in week one, they soundly defeated Washburn Rural, but that was almost the case that they were just couldn't miss. They were just on fire. This game, a 61-47 win against Olathe North Friday, they just executed both on offense and defense. It was their best game, in my opinion, and also some of the players and what Coach Davis said of the season. Their defense was suffocating. I mean, they held Olathe Northwest to 2 points in the second quarter. When you do that, you're likely going to win. Yeah. And then on offense, they did a good job of breaking down that Northwest had a pressure defense with trapping, and they broke through that. Good ball movement, inside-outside game. So just great execution on both sides, and they looked very impressive, their best victory of the year so far.
Now, I know from reading your game story on Friday night and in Saturday morning's paper, John Novotny, a typical starter, goes down with an ankle injury in warm-ups, isn't really able to do too much. But then they're able to plug in another kid, John Schneider, who steps in and does well. I have to think, if you're Chris Davis, you got to be excited after so many years of having so much great guard play. The fact that this year we're talking about big bodies that are able to just step in and take over, and considering what they're trying to do this year and work to that strength, it's got to be an encouraging sign when you're able to see something like that happen.
Exactly, and they do have a lot of big bodies, and as you mentioned, that's why this year they sort of adopted that pound it into the post mentality. And to demonstrate that, they only LHS scored only 2 3-point baskets, which last year that would have been unheard of. Or if they did that, if they only scored 2, you would think it would have been a major loss. But that shows the talent they have inside. And, you know, they lost Novotny for most of the game. And they have not only great depth inside, but depth at the guards. This is a very – they go about 9 deep without – they have guys coming off the bench like a Kevin Logan, John Novotny, probably once he comes back from the ankle injury, where there's not much a drop-off, if any, when going to the bench.
Now, taking a look ahead, like we said, they're – Lawrence High sits at 5-2 now, and we talked about the Free State girls and what they're going to find out about themselves in the next 10 days. Listen real quickly to what Lawrence High's boys face. Tonight, they're at Shawnee Mission East, perennial Sunflower League power. For any of you who caught last year's game between Lawrence High and East at the Lawrence High gym, just a total slugfest back and forth. Next, they face Friday at Olathe South. This is the same Olathe South team that completely blew Lawrence High out of the gym in last year's 6A sub-state game, and one of the best teams in the state. Then they go to the Topeka Invitational January 18th through the 20th. So that's five consecutive games on the road. And if you're keeping score at home, it's actually seven when you go back to the game at Free State before the break and the game at Olathe Northwest on Friday night. So Lawrence High doesn't return home until January 26th when they play Kansas City Hogan Prep. So, Jeff, again, I know we keep using the same terminology over and over again, but how important is it going to be in the next 2 weeks for the Lions, not just to, you know, I guess if you're looking at a half-glass empty kind of thing, just tread water, but if they're able to come out of this next five or six games and really even play 500 ball, they got to feel pretty good about themselves.
Certainly, yeah. If they can just sort of ride this tough spell out, that they'll be in good shape. But I'm getting inside of Coach Davis's head here. But I sort of think he welcomes this challenge coming up because, again, they're off two great games here: the Free State game where they had this great comeback, and then probably the best played game of the year for them. So you're always going to have a tough stretch, and this is the time to have it when they're playing the best ball of the season, and probably a good chance to really see how good they are if they're playing their best ball going against some of the best teams in the Sunflower League.
All righty, well, let's kick it back to you, Eric. Talk a little bit about the Free State boys. Again, they had to come in off of a heartbreaking loss over the break because they fell to Lawrence High in that classic ball game before the break kicked off. They go over to Olathe North and come out with a 78-59 victory. Offensively, at least from a scoring standpoint, their best game of the year. But just kind of break it down from your perspective how they looked, especially coming off back-to-back losses against Topeka High and Lawrence High.
And Scott, not only was this the best game for them offensively of the year, you know, in terms of scoring, looking at the stat sheet, this was unquestionably the best game of the year for the Free State boys basketball team without any question. Coach Chucklaw will be the first to admit that as well in talking to him after the game. This was the most important victory for this team, I think, definitely of the season to date. And maybe when you go back and look at it, this you might want to pencil this down, not just because of, you know, the team, you know, that they faced in Olathe North, but in talking to Christian Ballard after the game, the senior center, he just said that over that two-week holiday break, that this was a team that just, you know, they weren't really keeping in touch with each other. Nobody was really, you know, they were kind of all doing their own thing. Nobody was really kind of, you know, keeping up with every, you know, and practicing, and everybody was just kind of off doing their own thing. And so Ballard and Nick Devin, some of the seniors on the team, Kyle Schreiner included, you know, they all called a team meeting and kind of got everybody together and say, hey, this, you know, we can't do this. We have to kind of, you know, unite here, so to speak. And so that, it must have worked because they made their first 13 field goals in that game. Unbelievable. They just could not miss. They didn't miss in the whole first quarter alone. I mean, this was a different basketball team. Unbelievable performance. And yeah, they looked really good, that's for sure.
Now, along those lines, and I know you mentioned that about Christian Ballard and his kind of rounding up everybody and getting everybody on the same page, from your perspective, how do you look at this? Do you look at it as a positive in that the senior leaders realized something was amiss and took care of business, or do you take the more pessimistic approach and say, if these problems are already cropping up after mm-hmm. only six or seven games, what might lie ahead the rest of the season?
Right. I think you have to be a little bit more optimistic about it. And before I go on, I do want to mention Jamar Reese as a senior as well. He's the last senior who also called the meeting. Don't want to leave him out of it. But I think this is a good thing for them. To correct a problem like this early in the season, before you get that far down ahead in the schedule, I think this is fine. I mean, Scott, when they were passing the basketball, I mean, I've watched them, you know, play for the majority of the year. They looked a lot different. They were sharing the ball with relative ease, breaking the press like it was nothing. I mean, Olathe North pressed the whole game, and, you know, the score was even farther. You know, this was not even as close as even the score indicated. They were up like 25 to 30 points at one time, and I mean, they really just ran them out of their own gym. So I think you have to build on that. Like you said, there are no freebies on the road, and especially on the road, if you can get a stellar victory like that, I think you have to look at it in that sort of light.
Now, you mentioned that, no freebies. Free State goes back on the road on Tuesday. They're they're at Olathe East. Friday, they get back home against Shawnee Mission East. Probably have a little bit of a scouting report after Lawrence High plays them tonight. And then they will go down to McPherson down in the south central part of the state for a three-game tournament here later in the month. So, again, keeping on that same theme of, you know, building momentum at this midway point of the season. What does Free State have to do here over the next week or 10 days to kind of, you know, get that good vibe going that they felt Friday night and keep that happening?
I think, put simply, Scott, just keep sharing the ball. You look at it on this, they had four guys in double digits. That hasn't happened all year. I mean, that just has not happened for Free State. You know, you look at Weston Wiebe, 20 points. I mean, and they were not – I think Coach Chuck Law had the best comment afterwards. He said that, you know, and Weston said it himself too, that a lot of those 20 points that Weston had, they were not one-on-one opportunities. They came off, you know, breaking the press, getting Weston Wiebe out. He plays the four, but, you know, getting him out – there and getting open layups. These come from, like, you know, most of his baskets were from, you know, obviously assists and teammates. You know, these are not one-on-one moves that he was sort of making earlier in the season, to be honest. And so when you can get that, you know, everybody touching the ball and sharing the ball like that, I think that that's the thing that they have to focus on the most. And when you see it, you know, you see four guys scoring double digits for him. So that looked pretty good for him on Friday.
Yeah, I think both City Boys teams have to be encouraged about what happened on Friday night, because, like you just mentioned, four guys. I believe Lawrence High had four guys in double figures, or at least close to it, mm-hmm. the other night. So when you're able to get that kind of balance, I mean, I think that has to be big, that you're not just counting on one particular player to have to carry the load, and if they have an off night, you're in trouble.
Yeah, sure. And actually, going off that, I mean, you look at the four guys for Free State, and actually – their post play was huge. Three of the guys of those four were actually post players. And you look at Ballard, Wiebe, and Craig Rosenstengel, who came off the bench to score in double figures. So I think they really kind of established that toughness in the post as well on Friday night, and that's very good for this team as well.
All righty, well, let's kind of shift focus to the little guys here in the city. The definite bright spot over the weekend would have to be Seabury's boys getting their first victory for Coach Matthew Downing Jr. They hosted Flint Hills Christian and came away with a 65-49 victory. For those of you who follow Seabury closely, 65 points, that's 32 points more than they've scored in any one game this year. If you take their last two losses combined, they only scored 64 points. Jeff, I know you got a chance to do the City Boys basketball preview. You got a chance to talk to Coach Downing a little bit. I know you obviously weren't at Friday's game and didn't get a chance to check it out, but just from what you know of Coach Downing and what you've talked to them about, I would have to think this has to be an exciting sign of progress to come back off the break and be able to put forth this kind of an effort.
Certainly is, and you wonder if it just bodes well in the future, in the sense that Coach Downing was saying that there is going to be an adjustment period. You know, it's a whole new coaching staff, a new system, a lot of it which he implemented from his playing days at the University of Maryland. But so he said there would be an adjustment period, so you wonder if they're sort of getting it now. They also have a very young team, a freshman point guard, so maybe this is more what we're going to see from Seabury, hopefully.
Yeah, one thing that stuck with me a lot with Seabury, and I really don't mean this as a negative, and I hope it doesn't come across that way, but it seems like every year when we're talking about Seabury and just about every team sport, we kind of hear coaches say, oh, we need more time to grow together, we need more practice time, things like that. And before you know it, they're deep in their seasons and their records are just – they're struggling. And you wonder when those signs of progress are ever going to come. And we've heard it in volleyball. We've heard it in soccer. We've heard it in basketball. So when you see the difference that 2 weeks made here, I mean, they jumped from scoring 31 points against Colony Crest to 65 against Flint Hills Christian. I have to think that's a huge confidence boost to build on the rest of the year.
It is, and you know, it's interesting to see a common link through all these city teams, that it's unique to have this sort of situation where you have 2 weeks off, and you sort of wonder how the teams are going to respond. Are they going to be sort of fat and lazy when they come back after the holidays? Are they going to be, you know, is LHS going to be content with their big win? Is Free State going to be down in the dumps? Well, LHS spent their time to concentrate on defense, and it showed. They really emphasized that. Free State, as Eric noted, really had that sort of team-building meeting. And as Jason Elmquist noted in his game story, Seabury also really concentrated on defense and just focusing on the game plan, and that obviously worked out with their
It obviously translated to offense, too. I mean, to go out and score 65
Certainly,
points, sounds
yeah.
like they need to focus on defense even more. What I thought was interesting is, and you mentioned, obviously, you mentioned the Free State meeting and some different things like that. One thing I noted last year at some point, I don't remember if it was in a column, a game story, what have you, I covered Seabury's first game after the break last year, and they had two or three kids, and we're talking, you know, January 4th, January 5th, something like that, and they had two or three kids that weren't even back in town yet from taking their winter vacations. And I don't remember exactly who it was Seabury played, but they got hammered because they didn't have – and these were some of their better players. Uh-huh. And the coach said, look, they don't practice, they're not going to play. That's simple. So it's got to be encouraging to see that maybe there's a mindset change here.
Different commitment level.
Right. And last year, once they got to that point, Seabury kind of fell apart on the boys' side. And it'll be interesting to see if now – like we said, getting a victory here and starting off the new year on the right foot is able to kind of have a carryover effect. Now, on the flip side, Seabury girls had a tough one. They lost 44-15 to Flint Hills Christian. I guess the positive you take out of this whole weekend, if you're a Seabury girls fan, is that Coach Nick Taylor and his wife had a baby the night before that game, so Coach Taylor wasn't even on the sidelines. So I'd like to extend our congratulations to him and hope everything is going well with their new little addition. Now they just got to get some things straightened out on the basketball court, only scoring 15 points. And we've talked about this a lot with the Seabury girls over the last couple of years, just the struggles that they have on offense. And you look at their four games so far, and they've only crossed the 30-point threshold in one of them. When you're scoring in the 20s and you're only scoring 15 on a night, it's going to be kind of tough to win ball games, no matter how well you're doing on the other side of the floor. So it'll be interesting to see how they're able to maybe come to grips with that. Both the Seabury teams will be in action here tonight. Olathe Christian will be coming over to face Seabury on Seabury's home floor. Doubleheader will start with the girls at 6 o'clock, followed by the boys at 7:30. And after that, on Friday, both teams will travel just across the state line to face Kansas City Barstow on Friday. And then our final city team that actually was in action this week was the Veritas boys. They hit that point in the schedule where they play St. Mary's Academy, which is an all-boys school, so the girls don't get their shot. And Veritas boys fell to St. Mary's Academy for the second time this season already, dropping a 54-38 decision to fall to 1-8 on the year. And I know for those of us who've had a chance to cover Veritas in some football, some basketball last year and things like that, this is a very surprising number to see a 1-8 next to Veritas's name, because just in the short time that they've had varsity programs at that school, we just haven't seen this.
And they, again, I use the same thing of adjustment, but talking to Coach Bennett before the season, he knew. He said it was a rebuilding year, and he knew that they had a lot of young players, and they also lost a lot of players, especially their inside players that were so strong. So this is sort of a little bit and they have been struggling. Hopefully, it sounds like they played the margin wasn't, you know, a total blowout. Perhaps it's something to build on, but it's likely going to be a tough season for them.
I don't know if this can kind of, when you talk about Coach Bennett, remember how they started in football?
Right.
And, you know, Coach Bennett was able to rally the troops. I don't know if this is going to be something similar in basketball, but, you know, when they were in that position already, you know, Coach Bennett was able to kind of rally him out, and they really finished strong. So maybe he can kind of work some of that magic again for the basketball
team.
And
they do have some of Mazra is one of their better players, and there is some of the football players are on the team. Yeah. So
well, I know, and looking at the game story from that game, I believe it was Jason Elmquist who covered that game for us as well. Veritas was right in the game in the fourth quarter, put on a big run to get within about 3 points, and then turned right back around and let St. Mary's Academy, I think it was a 10-2 run, to push the lead back into double digits and kind of put the game away. So like you said, it might be a thing where talent-wise they're not that far off, but it's just these little things of making adjustments and finding a way to finish out games and things like that. And, you know, maybe this 16-point loss is a little bit better than that 16-point loss they had to St. Mary's Academy a month ago.
Exactly. And to put in perspective, when I saw them against a game in Wichita, and it basically they were – what Bennett said at halftime was he told the team, look, let's just try and win the second half, trying to outscore the other team. Now they're at least in competitive games where they have a chance. So.
All righty. Well, both the Veritas squads will be in action tonight. They'll be over in Topeka against Topeka Care Paravel. And then they will be back home on Friday against the same Olathe Christian squad that is coming over to play Veritas tonight. Those Friday games will be a 6:45 and 8:15 p.m. doubleheader over at the Eudora Community Learning Center. Well, that pretty much is the city roundup. Let me just ask real quick, guys. First of all, Eric, do we have the Sorrentino stat of the week?
Oh, absolutely. You don't even have to ask, Scott. And today, this is kind of interesting. We talked about the Seabury defense already on the boys' side. This kind of is kind of an explanation toward that. Flint Hills with 36 turnovers. That's the stat of the week. It'll be 36. And when I saw a stat sheet, I believe, at the beginning of the year that I had, when you cross off the turnovers, it only goes up to 35. So, I mean, if you were keeping track of that, that probably even went off the sheet by one. So they obviously stepped up the D on, last Friday.
Alrighty, and I don't think we've had very many locks of the week recently because it's a little bit different with basketball than it is with football. But, Jeff, do you have something?
I do have a lock of the week because we haven't had them. Basketball doesn't lend itself, but we've received a lot of complaints. You know, people don't know what to do. Apparently, gambling is a large problem in the high school level, and people don't know.
And we're not encouraging by any means.
I actually think that Olathe South is going to be a very tough game for Lawrence High come Friday, and I think Olathe South. I like what Lawrence High is doing, but I think Olathe South is going to pull that one out. That would be my lock of the week.
It would be nice to see, and I know a Lawrence High fan doesn't want to hear this, but it would just nice to see a competitive ball game. After what happened last year and the way that the season ended for Lawrence High, obviously the Cinderella ending, if you want to get really dramatic, is for Lawrence High to be able to go over there and beat them in their home gym. Might be asking a little much, but
exactly.
At least make it a competitive ball game after what took place last March, I think, is all they can ask for. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for us on this edition of the Spodcasters. Just want to let everybody know we're lining up some guests to come in and join us over the next couple of weeks. Talk some basketball, talk some wrestling, some swimming. Once bowling gets here, even talk a little bit about that. So we thank you for joining us, and until next week, have fun checking out all the local high school action.